This is Paul Segris at Ellis Island. We are about to begin tape two of the interview with John C. Raimondo, who came from Italy in 1922 when he was 16 years old. Mr. Raimondo, let's talk about what it was like to adapt to America. You arrived in Cincinnati.
Thank you.
You arrived in Cincinnati to your brothers.
As I stated on the other, I knocked at the door of 111 Pitt Street. My brother was the first one to appear in front of the door. We hugged and kissed, and then the taxi cab left to his ways. And that morning we had a little chat, but everyone left to go to work because it just was a time for them to go to work.
This was early in the morning.
Early in the morning.
Did your brother look different to you?
No, because he couldn't change much. There was only a year in time, except dress different, but as the looks and things were the same.
Well, you say he dressed differently. How would he have dressed in Italy versus how did he dress in America?
Well, see, although to go to work, see, he didn't find work to, like, inside. He almost was dressed like we worked out in the country because he found work. Worked out in the street, which was at that, which still is, we used to call Eastern Avenue. And he was showing me where he worked because the following year he was lucky enough to find work in the tailor shop with this relative that's, again, Frank Trotter and Teresa.
So did he get you a job right off the bat?
Soon I came. In this country, naturally, the guarantee was that they had to keep me in school.
Oh, in school, right.
And right away, the same week, we went to the Board of Education with a lady that she knew well English, writing a little bit English also. Their children, which Teresa Trotter, poor lady, did not know how to read and write.
This is your aunt.
My cousin.
Your cousin.
And her husband knew a little bit Italian, but to read and write English didn't either. But this lady, which lived in their house also, renting a flat, was pretty much more advanced. We went to the Board of Education, got a permit. So the following Monday, soon the week was over, I went to work where Frank Trotter was working with them. And I worked there for 6 months and $9 a week.
And was this doing tailoring?
Tailoring. Same job that I had in the play that I learned. And I tried to progress, learn every day. But at the same time, I never missed a night of going to school. Although, at that time, the following year that I got to this country, there is one winter we stayed with them, and then we found a flat very near them. And we stayed, us three together, my cousin, and the also cousin, also Frank Trotter. And we lived like that, made our own cooking, our own washing, and also scrubbing the steps every fifth, because there was five family in the building. Every fifth week, we had to scrub the steps from the third floor all the way down to the first floor. And every other week, from the second floor to the third floor, or the third floor to the second floor.
Now, when you started working, of course, you don't speak English. What was it like?
Well, they all talk Italian.
Oh, so I see. So in the shop, everyone was Italian. Was this an Italian neighborhood that you moved
no,
into?
No. There was very few Italian families those days because the most of the immigration got there was from all different towns. And those Italians that they came as tailors, they all landed in the tailor shops, which the tailor shop was progressive. So no matter which way you went, it was Italian you could talk. But I did love the English language. So after 6 months that I stayed there, I went to work with somebody else. And I made, the first week I made almost three times much I made the first week.
Doing tailoring?
Tailoring. All. That's when I started progressing. Not only go night school, but try to advance in my tailoring, because when I came from Italy, I only knew how to sew. I said I was a tailor, but I was no tailor. I was just an ordinary seamstress that I could sew like that. And here then all the machines were electric. And during those 6 months, though, not only I was going to night school, but I tried to advance my tailoring. And right away I made friends, ladies and men. And the first thing I got to be real friendly was a young lady that she was working on an electric machine. And I said if she would teach me how to run the machine. Although I was weak work, I was so much a week, they was piecework, as much as they made, they would get.
I see. Let's talk a little bit about how you learned English, because you are going to school, so I mean that I'm sure is helping, but tell me in your own words.
In my words was that I didn't care what the pronunciation was of what. If I would hear a word, I would try to reuse it. And a funny thing, this girl that she was showing me, she was an English girl.
Do you know what her name was?
That I forgot, because I was only six months in there. And things pass fast through your head.
Well, it was a long time ago.
A long time, too.
So anyway, she was English, or yeah. She was American.
American girl. And one guy was Italian. He thought he could talk good English, but I found out he didn't know much at all, because I was going to school and I learned fast, but he didn't. And he told me to tell him a dirty joke, a dirty word, and I did. She laughed at me and she says, I know you don't know what it means, but I explained to you. And she did. I never used that word again. But the following week when we went to work, I told him, because, you see, I was going to school. I couldn't make a good sentence, but I could get the words together. And I said to him, look, sunshine, bridge, jump off. And then I told him in Italian. I got kind of worked up. I said, look, don't tell me those kind of words, because I was not taught to talk like that. You're a pig. He says, well, I thought that was funny. You think it was funny, not funny for me. I thanked the girl, and she's going to show me. You hear, in a few weeks or months, I'll teach you how to talk English, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's how I did it, because I never forget the two teachers. Although I remember their name and vivid in front of my eye, which one gave me the book, although belonged to the Board of Education, but he signed her name and gave it to me for present. And when she would say the word, it says, walk to the door. Get up. She would take you by the hand and walk to the door. I put my hand on the table. See, oh, she was so explicit that you just can forget, unless you didn't care. But
right.
I did.
But you wanted to learn.
I wanted to learn. I loved this country, because I said, this right away, as soon as I got here, I started to understand good what it was. I said, this is the only land in the world that gives you the opportunity and freedom as it is.
Did your brother learn English? Did he speak?
Yes, he spoke, but being he was older, he took more responsibility. He came to school. But he didn't learn as much as I did, because I was more younger and more induced. I really wanted to school.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about your religious life once you moved here. Now, of course, you're a group of young men sort of living together. Did you keep up the strict religious practices?
The religion, very much. In fact, there was an Italian church, which now it's not there anymore, but they moved it to, they associated with another one. But they called the Italian Sacred Heart Church. And The first year we was going down there, many times we used to walk, which was about at least 2.5 miles.
Were services in Italian?
In Italian. That priest was in Italian. But would, of course, he could talk English too. But the sermons was in Italian. And I started go presteri. And then in there, they used to serve dinners. They used to cook and try to make a little money, I guess, for the benefit of the church. And I think, I don't remember exactly if it was the second year or the third year I was here. And right away they invited me to help. On the, because the lady would make all that stuff by hand. Spaghetti, they used to roll them by hand. And those days you hear now this ravioli. The lady used to roll the dough by hand and make a ravioli and sell them. And it says, you gather the dish on the tables, help the busboy. Because I was so small, I'm still small, but I grew up a little bit more after I came here at 16. And I helped there. Then a few years later, that goes, then I could talk good English because I kept the school pretty good. They put me in the kitchen and help cook, and that's what I still, now my children does help a little bit. My nephews that came from Italy also landed the helping cooking the spaghetti at this festival. This festival is still going. We do it twice a year. And they serve over 3,000 people from 11:30 in the morning till 7 o'clock in the night.
Wow. Now, were you lonely for your family?
Yes. If I would say no, it would be mean because we were very close. And we never at any time abandoned my brother and I, our family.
Were you writing to them?
Writing, and plus we sent money.
Now, did any of them come over?
We were trying to, but the only one we could have brought here, because I got my citizen paper right 5 years after I was in this country.
Oh, very quickly.
Oh, yes. That's what I say. I love this country.
Well, tell me about how you felt when you got your citizen's papers.
Well, in fact, they invited me and says, the teacher says, do you mind to say a few words when we get there? Because those days, it was pretty big classes. And they gave us special lunch to the class. And says, do you mind to say a few words because the judge will be there and all that? I said, not at all. He says, but I don't want you to make it too long. Oh, no. I said, I can make it as long as you want. He said, I'll give you 5 minutes. I said, oh, I don't need 5 minutes, what I wanted to say.
I see. Was that a big moment for you when you got
Very.
The paper?
Oh, yeah, everybody. That I could vouch for anybody. In those days, anybody became a citizen, buddy, they was, and they had to work hard, too.
Sure.
They had to learn all the amendment. Of course, I did learn them all by heart. I did know all of them, but you had to know a lot of the answer that the judge would ask you.
Do you remember if your whole class was Italian or
no,
you had
it was
all different nationalities?
They were different nationalities, always mix.
I see. That's interesting. Well, I guess as we wind down here, let me just ask you, did you go back to Italy?
Yes, I went back in 1931, which...
Your parents were still living?
Oh, yeah, the parents, the family was... my sisters, one was married... my brother was young yet, that it's in this country now.
Did you see, when you went back in 1931, did you see Italy differently when you
oh,
went back?
Oh, totally different.
Yeah.
But everything had changed because then my mother and father was in better condition because, well, although they built a house on the land that my grandpa had left to my dad because they divide up the land in four of them because there was four children left because my grandpa died young. But we bought a big piece of land for them to enjoy it while they was living.
And nobody came back with you when you went to visit?
Well, my dad wanted to come, but I said, you don't need to come there. I said, you was already in South America. And you know the country I said, you didn't ever call the family there. See, now we all divided. I says, you's here, there. But at that time, he says, well, if I hope someday you're going to look, go see South America. Then tell, if I would be living, you would have told me why I didn't call the family there, which is true. Then after World War II, my two sisters had married in Italy. They went to South America. And I went to my brother, which never did go back to Italy. We went to South America because my younger sister was born just the day he left Naples. Mm-hmm. And my brother did not know her, only by pictures. Mm-hmm. So I said, look, before you die, or before we die, I said, let's go meet your sister in South America, because he didn't like to travel, especially the boat. I was sick all the way through. But he, the way he was telling me and other people was with him, I got up once in a while, he says, but he never got up. He says, we had to bring him a piece of bread or something because he was so sick. And he did swear, I said, never go back on the ocean. We never did. See, we went to South America on a plane.
You probably never wanted to see another boat.
No, I didn't. Uh-uh. I went back 1931 then. See, when I tell you, I can, you can add that if you wanted to. I got just sick the same way the first day. The guy says, the guy says, look, you're not traveling to be sick. You travel to have a good time. The reason why you get sick, you're afraid of the water. I said, impossible. I make you a bet. If you eat continuously, you throw one up and you eat again, I bet you'll break it. And one morning I made the bet. And I ate six times. Six times I throw down. And the seventh time I never throw up. On the trip, anytime I went, because I made two other trips, and then I made the trips.
So it worked.
It worked.
It worked. Isn't that funny? Well, I guess my final question for you, Mr. Raimondo, is, and actually you've sort of said this to me through the whole interview, is did you make the right choice coming here?
Oh, yes. From the first day, I thought that there was the best place in the world that anybody had the chance to come if they wanted to work and progress. But a lot of people maybe don't feel that way, but my conscience, it would be a sin if I'd say that this country is not the greatest country in the world.
Well, I want to thank you very much for coming out here to Ellis Island and for donating the suitcase that we heard so much about.
I appreciate it very much, and thank you a million for having me here. And I wished I could see these walls like I've seen before.
Well, thank you very much. It was our pleasure. This is Paul Segrist signing off for the National Park Service.